trend, which is sometimes termed revisionism, which started in the 1970s, really, and reached its peak in the 80s, where the revolutionary period is depicted as a primarily communal conflict. Some people are very against this, and they see this as something that's not founded in evidence and something that's politically motivated. So what do you make of this debate about revisionist versus anti-revisionist?
When I first came over years ago, I found it strange that there was a controversy about the foundation of the state, because, you know, we just don't have that in the United States, despite the fact that America was founded on genocide of Indians. We also expelled about a third of our loyalists during the American Revolution. So I found that odd. You know, I understand it a lot more. I think it makes a hell of a lot of sense in the context of the Troubles in the 80s and 90s. I think also that few Irish historians, scholars, you know, academic historians, were engaged in the War of Independence prior to the 70s, for whatever reason. And the historiography was dominated by Republicans. You know, people like Dorothy McArdle, Ernie O'Malley, Flory O'Donoghue, because the academics weren't writing that history, they ended up filling that vacuum. So I think that in one way, the revisionism was great to show how much more complicated the narrative was than just, you know, simply the people standing together in an anti-colonial struggle. At the other hand, I think that there's been this assumption that revisionism equals professional history and the nationalist perspective equals amateur history. And I think that that's wrong. I think where we're moving now is kind of a lot healthier, kind of this post-revisionist, post-nationalism, where we're not just looking at a general applause for the nationalist perspective or a general rejection of the nationalist perspective. We're looking at it a lot more subtly, in a lot more detail, using a lot of different techniques. And I think that's very helpful. We have a debt of gratitude to the revisionists, folks like David Fitzpatrick, really brought in this kind of geographic micro study. And that's been a great model for a lot of people. Peter Hart, I think, deserves credit for really raising the issue of unionism in the South during the War of Independence, which hadn't really been discussed in detail before. I disagree with some of his findings, but I think that that discussion needed to happen. What they represented was important. It moved the scholarship forward. It created debates that were ultimately healthy. But I'm also glad that we're escaping the straitjacket of the Troubles, of the fear that if your scholarship supports republicanism in the 20s, somehow you're culpable for a provisional IRA bomb going off in London in the 90s. I'm glad we've escaped that. I don't know if we've escaped that entirely, but I think we're definitely moving that way.
Certainly was a lot of simplicity in nationalist history during the 1950s and 1960s. As the revolutionary period dimmed in memory, you didn't see the social and economic critique of people like James Connolly. You didn't see the excellent critique of British propaganda, British imperialism that Erskine Childers had done. You saw simply the idea of Catholic and nationalist Ireland, which was effectively the official ideology of the Irish state. Well, semi-official ideology, I beg your pardon, of the Irish state. Actually, but I think something that's really interesting is that semi-official ideology more or less disappeared like snow off a ditch throughout the 1970s. And the reason it disappeared is because it no longer had a functional role in Irish society. There was certainly an idea abroad, and certainly Conor Cruise O'Brien promoted it. But he developed the idea in the early 1970s that support for violence in the north of Ireland, support for Republican violence specifically, both north and south, was based on the way history was taught in Irish schools. And history was something that became a battleground. He thought that it was important that history be retaught, because he said if certain ideas can be learned, then they can also be unlearned. And he thought that people were in favour of Republican violence because of their view of 1916, their view of 1916 to 21, and their view of the role of England or Britain in Irish society. So it was important to create a new ideology which would challenge the old certainties and would re-educate Irish people into a new way of thinking. Now, obviously, people who promoted and supported O'Brien's ideas suggested also that the nationalist history was a simplistic history, that the new historical method was one based on socioeconomic complexity, one which was more nuanced, and it was one which was based on the idea that Irish history cannot be reduced to an Irish-English conflict, that there was sectarianism within the Irish nationalist tradition, and that sectarianism was manifesting itself in an attempt to throw Protestants out of Ireland, essentially, and that was part of the problem in the six counties post-1971-72. Within the historical profession, I think a lot of those ideas were quite powerful, but they had very strong institutional support. I think people who espoused republican ideas within the historical profession were essentially cooled out, were thought to be people who were dangerous and subversive ideas, and I think a more conservative element came to the fore within the historical profession. But a historical current which seemed actually more liberal, more left-wing, but in fact, in my opinion, was very conservative.
If you look at Irish historiography, it was very slow to kind of engage with a mature, critical, professional historical analysis of what happened during the revolutionary period. And it's not really until the 1960s, in the late 60s at that, that you begin to get scholars looking at the nationalist narrative in a more critical way. And I think that process, which begins in the 60s and gains ground in the 70s, of works such as Ruth Dudley Edwards' biography of Patrick Pearse and so on, I think that process is pretty healthy, and it's the kind of thing that happens in most countries. After a certain period of time, historians in that country begin to feel that they can sort of peel away at some of the myths that nations build up. That kind of revisionism, while it's always controversial, is natural and healthy. The sort of problematic aspect, or what makes it perhaps a bit more controversial than it would have been, is that all of this is taking place against the context of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. So all of these questions are necessarily entangled in a much more loaded and emotive kind of debate about contemporary republican violence. And I think the consequence of that was to make the revisionist debate a very sort of unhealthily kind of loaded and controversial battleground in which